5A.
Aye.
And I'm staying as well.
We have a quorum of three. Prevails. Okay, item 6. The Marin County Wastewater Agency Public Education Program Presentation. This is an informational item, and the Board Commissioners will provide any comments or direct to the General Manager as appropriate. Jason.
Okay, thank you, Chair DiGiovanni. So we have a presentation tonight on our Cooperative Public Ed Program with five other treatment facilities in the county. And I'm coughing a lot. I missed Jack already. And the last time we had a presentation was back in 2013 on our public ed program, and I think we have all new board members here. And it didn't seem like it was that long ago. When I looked it up, I figured, well, you know, we have a light agenda. Might as well give a little overview presentation tonight since we have a successful, you know, program. And I mentioned last month that we received the CWA Redwood Empire Section Award for our program. And I heard today that we received the State of California Award for the program, too, which was a great thing. And that will be presented at the annual conference in Reno. Yeah, in Reno. But I think because of COVID-19, we're not going to send our staff up there. But I'll just turn over the presentation to our staff. So in the audience, we have Mary Jo Ramey, who is an environmental services analyst. And she is the chair of our public ed committee and does a lot of great work for us. And then I think you all know Mark Kokomore. He's our regulatory services manager, and he will kind of lead up the presentation for us. So, Mark.
Thank you, Jason. Well, thank you for coming out tonight. We're going to share a little bit about the Marin County Wastewater Agency's public education program. I just wanted to kind of begin by indicating that, you know, public education is a critical aspect to what we do as a business. It not only educates the general audience about the importance of wastewater, but also provides an opportunity for us to get our key messages of pollution prevention measures that can eliminate or potentially reduce pollutants to the waste stream and thus the waterways that we discharge and the resources we use. The program, the presentation tonight, we're going to cover a little bit about the history of the program, some of the outreach activities that we engage with the general public, some of the metrics that we use to measure those activities to determine the effectiveness of those messages, as well as outreach materials and activities for future development that we are working on. To give you a little bit about a brief history of the program, in 1992, the Regional Water Quality Control Board outlined for us in LGVSD that we would be required to develop a pollution prevention program. And as a result, that's what birthed our public education program in 1992. In 1993, we had fully developed it, and we were implementing it at that point. And at that point, we started to get awards for the program. And so when 2007 rolled around, there was a requirement not just for us to have a program, but also for some of the smaller agencies like SASM and Sausalito and SD5 to also implement a pollution prevention activities. And as a result, that is what birthed our Memorandum of Understanding in 2007, which joined all those agencies together to develop a program that would be efficient and effective, not just for us as CMSA, but for all of Marin County. Out of that, we have been the lead agency, and as you can see, those are our responsibilities for what we are required to take part of and lead for the committee. Within that Memorandum of Understanding, we also said that we would develop future education goals for the general public as far as what is important to us as an agency and Marin County as far as public education for pollution prevention on wastewater treatment. Within that, we focused on the differences between the water streams that are out there, from storm drains to sewer systems, and the ways to dispose wastes for those various systems, as well as The beneficial reuse of treated wastewater and biosolids, and critical agenda topics for pollution prevention activities, like pharmaceuticals, fog-related sanitary sewer system overflows, emerging topics like what you've heard about recently in the papers with plastics and constituents of emerging concern. These are ever-evolving public education goals. Back in the 70s and 60s, you know, metals was an important topic because that's what we wanted to reduce. But as we've effectively treated the pollutants that are going into the waste stream, like metals, we've drastically reduced those. Now there's other focuses like nutrients and fog and constituents of emerging concern, etc. So what do we do, and how do we get those messages out there to the general public? Well, one of the ways in which we engage the general public is through outreach booths. In 2006, when we were originally, in our early years, we were working with LGBSD to get out these public education messages. And at that time, we were around about six events that we would organize and prepare and do throughout the year. Currently, because of our joint endeavor with the other agencies for our program, we are now over 20 that we are conducting every year. Mary Jo is really good at organizing these events and making sure that everybody's on the same page, and I'm really lucky to have her as part of my staff. But as part of putting those events together, we also try to figure out ways to get it to maybe communities that we're not currently engaging. So in 2019, for instance, that national night out that we went and did, that was the first time that we had put that event together. And there was a cross-section of the community that attended that event that we weren't seeing at other things like the Marin County Fair. So we're always trying to find out new ways to engage our community. As part of those outreach booths, we also develop outreach promotional items like what you have received tonight. These items are for the purposes of encouraging engagement, and every 2 to 3 years we reassess the logo. And so currently we have the leopard shark, and in the next year or so we will be reassessing a new logo. We want to keep it fresh and new so we can continue to engage our community out there.
We've had about like 7 or 8 logos, wouldn't you say, Mary Jo?
We have, and we actually have people who come to the fair booth to get the new logo. And we had last year, this woman, she was so happy. She brought back our original logo, which was back from...
Is that the dead fish?
It was actually it was a starfish.
The starfish.
Right after the dead fish.
Okay.
Oh, that's right, the bones.
The bones, yeah.
Yes,
bones.
Yes, she had something with the bones on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then she brought the starfish, and that shirt looked brand new, because she said she only washes it in cold water, she hangs it out to dry, but she has every one of our shirts. So it's great.
That's great.
So I guess the message out of that is those shirts will last you for quite a while.
That's right.
If you wash them in cold water.
Hang dry. Cold water.
So... also, as part of that, we try to engage the public with key messages. And those messages are usually covered within the quizzes that we hand out to adults and children.
And those are attached to your staff report, too.
Yeah,
and you want to take them home and take them. I'll grade them.
So I will say, on a personal note, I actually took my family out last year to the Marin County Fair. And although we live in Napa, we decided to come out and check it out. And I got my son to take the test to see if he could pass it. And he passed it. So it means I'm doing something right, which is good. So it's, you know, it's a way of putting out key messages like the pharmaceutical concerns that we have and where to put them. You know, obviously, in the good old days, we would discharge them to the toilets or pour them down the sink. You know, nowadays, we want to make sure that they take them to the designated drop-off boxes. So this is a way in which we measure. Another aspect to our public education program is our facility tours. this to me is the most exciting aspect to our program. I like it because I personally get excited about being able to tell somebody about something that I wake up every morning to do and how great a job it is, because we get to take wastewater and make it into a reusable resource for the community. And for all these agencies over the last year, we have done 23 tours, and 533 people have been able to hear about the great things that wastewater treatment plants do out there. Yes?
Do you tell them about our cogeneration facility and the electricity?
I am actually going to tell you about that moment in just a second. So as part of that tour, we have put together, last year we put together a facility tour packet in order to create some sort of a more efficient way of engaging those that would like to get tours, to provide them the information they need. This is on our website, and it provides them key information that they want to know about, and it also provides us information so we know how many people are coming for the tour, how many chaperones will be available, and it helps Mary Jo and her team to make sure that everybody is available for those tour events. It has improved efficiency.
And Jack Govey helped us prepare that waiver release form you see there.
So, for our tours, we cover these various aspects of the facility, and I'm sure you all know them very well. But you mentioned about energy production and power generation. Last year, as an illustration, we were providing a tour to about 20-25 teachers from the surrounding community that come in for a tour. And we took them, I don't get to often do a tour, but when there's help needed, I'll step in. And so I stepped in, and we were taking them through the facility. And we got to the point where the pilot digester is, right there by the digesters, and I'm sure you've all seen it. And we were talking about how we were embarking upon the study, and that we were going to be using interns, high school and college interns, to assist us in this pilot digester. And the teachers got really engaged at that point, because they thought, hey, this is a great resource whereby not only can my students learn about science and treatment plant processes, but also now they get to actually engage upon learning what it is to work in that field. So yeah, it's a great resource of telling them about the amazing things of energy production out of our digesters and where we're going in the future. Right now, we currently have two interns that are working in the lab, and they are doing a phenomenal job at helping us collect the data for the pilot digester. Another way that we engage the public is through our school outreach shows. We have a juggler who originally began with a puppet show called Captain Paluto. And the process of updating the program and the show, he migrated over to a juggling show to identify key pollution prevention messages. And in 2019, he was able to reach out to 4,300 students. And currently, he is actually working on a video should schools eventually, because of the COVID-19 occur, he can at least provide videos for these outreach activities. Another aspect of our program is a pharmaceutical take-back. This pharmaceutical take-back, in 2007, we were working with the Marin County Environmental Health Services to develop take back events. However, that has migrated over to because of legislation, where we now fund RX Safe Marin, in which we provide new flyers and pamphlets to provide information to the public on where proper pharmaceutical disposal is allowed and drop-off site locations. An estimated of 10,000 pounds were collected in Marin County in 2019.
So originally, the Marin County Environmental Health, they had the take-back program that they managed. Then they had take-back locations at some pharmacies, at the sheriff's office, at police department buildings and things. And we contributed to their program. And the contribution was about $14,000 a year, and it helped with the proper disposal for the transportation and the incineration of the pharmaceuticals, out of state. And then, based on the County of Alameda Ordinance, which required pharmaceutical manufacturers then to fund take-back programs, those ordinances then started getting adopted around the state, and Marin County crafted one, and then the pharmaceutical companies had to do that. RX Safe Marin then came and had a meeting with us and said, well, geez, could you fund, us, because the pharmaceutical companies, they don't have a good website or the public interface, or they don't have the communications, or we want to establish that for the community. So we've provided, I think, one payment to them for helping with developing the website and some promotional brochure items?
Two payments.
Yeah. And that's part of the public education program budget. So it's went from county program to manufacturer program, but we still support it.
And inside your bags, there's a plastic bag that RX Safe Marin, we give out at events, along with how to dispose of them. So the seniors love it.
So we're not the spearhead, like, in the county on it right now.
We just provide funding to RX Safe Marin, to support them.
The last, but certainly not least, is our public outreach publications in which we support. These publications are written by students and for students. They are for the purposes of identifying key pollution prevention activities that the community can engage upon. They reach about 25 students during the school year, and it's they have won multiple awards as well, too. And it's a great resource in which we provide some funding for, in which we can get out those messages, particularly to the younger generation, where habits and practices can be changed. Our metrics are a way in which we try to measure the messages and their effectiveness for the program. So here we're going to provide just a couple of examples of some of the metrics that we use. This is an example of the adults that have answered the questions over the years, and the service area being our program versus those outside of our program. So when we go out and we put together a outreach booth at Marin County Fair, we ask that they identify what county they might be from. So in some cases it's Santa Rosa, in other cases it's here. And then we can identify how effective is our community aware of those messages relative to communities that are outside of our sphere of influence. We also try to break it down to identify maybe areas that we need to focus on in the years to come. So you'll notice here we focused on fog and mercury over the years, disposal of pharmaceuticals. We change up the questions each year. The team will sit down and look through the questions and see how applicable they are, and so they want to focus on key messages for that particular year. And so at the last couple of years, you've seen the toilet is not a trash can, and stormwater questions are now being put on the quiz. We don't want to make the quiz too long, otherwise you lose engagement with the public. So we have to change our questions from year to year. So tonight we wanted to finish off with some of the outreach education materials that we're working on currently. So we wanted to share with you three segments that have been worked on with staff and a company that is helping us with this project. These are messages that we will be using in the future to educate everyone on key things that we want to focus on. The last four segments, four through eight, are currently under development, and so hopefully in the near future we'll be able to show you the full video. So please excuse me, because I'm going to have to go back and forth to show you those three different segments.
I am older than the earth. In fact, the water that you use today is the same water that was here 4 billion years ago. Since then, I've been nurturing the plants, the trees, the animals, and of course, quenching the thirst for humans since they arrived on earth. I ascend to the clouds as vapor and return as rain, drenching the planet and bringing life to everything. It's an important job. And I can't wait to tell you how I stay clean and happy as humans use my incredible capabilities. Hi, my name is Dottie. I am a water droplet, and this is how I arrive. After humans use my services, I get dirty, so the humans need to clean me again and again. Staying clean is our shared goal, so let's take a journey together through the sanitary system and discover how humans make this happen.
What a nice building. That was okay.
Designed to block the things that should not be there. And And oh boy, you wouldn't believe the things that show up in here, including toothbrushes, toys, medicine bottles, grease from frying pans, and even false teeth. Sewage is screened and flows into tanks. No, not those kinds of tanks. These tanks. These are called grit tanks. In grit tanks, the water is slowed way down so that heavy solids like rocks, sand, eggshells, and coffee grains can be removed from the water before it enters other parts of the water treatment system. The sewage is moved into large settlement tanks called clarifiers, where solid organic matter, better known as poop, is separated from wastewater. Next, the slow water continues through long tanks where things that want to float can float, and things that want to sink can sink.
So that is what we have been working on the last year, and we're hoping to finish that up in the coming year.
Yeah.
And we're excited to be able to use that tool in the coming year for trying to teach everybody out there about what we do here at CMSA. This time, if you have any questions, I'll gladly pass them on to somebody who knows more than I do.
You can call it a screen at a bar screen. Those removed. Yeah.
You know, I was wondering which agencies participated, but it's every treatment plant. Every agency was a treatment plant. That's correct.
Yeah, the major agencies. So Nevada, Los Colinas, CMSA, Sausalito, Marin City, San 5, and Sewerage Agency at Southern Marin. There's some very small plants out in West Marin that are really tiny that aren't part of our program here.
That's good.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Mary Jo.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Great job.
Would you consider doing some sort of a, maybe not a video, but a special presentation for environmental groups focused on the energy production? When I talk to them and tell them that we have the only place that produces renewable, that produces energy from renewable fuels in Marin County is the wastewater treatment plant, they're just like, wow, I've never thought about that. So just a thought for the future, because they the environmental groups are very interested in our energy production and our food energy programs.
Yeah, I've given quite a few presentations to environmental groups in the county and across the nation, actually. And I have, you know, various presentations. So if you want to tell someone, call me.
Okay.
Yeah, we can set it up. Sure, definitely.
Is this targeted to be given to the schools, or will, is that the primary focus of this?
That was our goal, was to have a video that we could present to elementary school when we go to them, and then also to have at the fair booths an outreach where we could have it playing like a loop.
I see.
So that then people could see. So it's a really good way to reach people who don't do well reading. Mm-hmm. We've tried to do other different items when we do outreach. We do a toilet toss game for younger children who can't read. So they get to pick items that they should throw into the toilet or shouldn't. And then we do with seniors bingo, where they get to look at it, you know, just different.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Turn off the screen. I'm going to hand it out to control. That's the big one.
Jason, if you started, let's go.
Okay.
Any further comments, questions for the general manager or the staff? Okay. Having none, moving on. The 2020 North Bay Watershed Association Conference. This is to approve board member attendance.
That's not going on.
Right. from what I understand, this is not going on, but you can take it away for any rescheduling.
Yes, we talked about this, you know, last month, and we added to the agenda. It's going to be it's always a really good, you know, educational conference. Like Congressman Huffman comes and speaks during lunchtime, and we have lots of good presenters from state agencies and either other elected representatives at the state level. But because of the COVID-19 and some of the requirements by Sonoma County Health, they decided to cancel this conference, but reschedule possibly for later in the year. So I could bring this back later.
Thank you. Item 8 is to approve a resolution for Dan Zobo, our former commissioner from Luxford.
So we all know the status of Larkspur's seat on the JPA, so Dan can't be here anymore. So we talked about preparing a resolution for him, so that's before the board tonight. So we drafted this up as staff internally, and then we shared it with Chair DiGiovanni and Vice Chair Borstein, and they had a few comments, and we incorporated those. And so the final draft is before you tonight, and the three of us are recommending that you approve it. And if you do, then we'll go ahead and get it signed after the meeting, and I'll call Dan and tell me this great resolution form, and I'll frame it and take him out to lunch.
So moved.
One second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. Thanks for the comments, Michael and the team.
Item 9 is the revised Pinellas Community Service District, the Fog Source Control Program Agreement. And this is to approve the agreement.
Yeah, so we have fog source control agreements with our JPA member agency as well as Los Angeles Valley Sanctuary District. That's a little broader, all pollution prevention. And then with Tamalpais Community Service District and more recently with El Monte Sanctuary District. And El Monte and Tam Valley are very small districts over by Tam Junction at the southern end of Mill Valley. So I was meeting with Heather Abrams, the manager of TCSD, and we were talking about just how our services have been, and she had really great things to say about Mary Jo and Mark, which was great to hear. And then we talked about this agreement, which is, you know, 11 years old, and I suggested, well, perhaps we just kind of update this and clean it up, because it was designed to where we're helping them develop a program, then working with their restaurants and food generators to come into compliance, and then just the administration long term. Now we're just in the administration phase for Tam Valley and all the other contract agencies. So she thought it was a great idea. So Mark and Mary Jo and I kind of looked at the old agreements, made a lot of revisions to it. Those are kind of generally summarized on the first page. Sent it over to Heather, and she thought it all looked great, had no comments. Their legal counsel thought it was looking pretty good too. And it went to their board last night, and it was approved. So we recommend that after answering any questions, that you guys consider approving the agreement. In this agreement, they only have 5, you know, restaurants in that little Tam Junction area. So it's not a lot of effort for our staff to go down and do the work. And I think we bring in probably, you know, up to $2,000 maybe a year for total revenue, as long as everybody's in compliance. And but they're good. It's good to help out the small district because they don't have the staff to do that. And it's a lot less and more money and more affordable than if they hire a consultant to do it. But yeah, they're happy with the service, and they like the agreement, and we're happy to help them out.
Any questions for the gentleman?
I think you mentioned this is going to be a prototype for the other, for everybody's going to.
Yeah, so what we'd do is we'd probably share this with the other districts, give them a copy of the current agreement, and this one, and say we recommend just kind of updating your agreement, probably one by one, and talk to them about it. And they may not be the same type of revisions, because like TCSD, they have a blanket program. So we regulate all 5 restaurants in their service area. But for an agency like San Rafael San, which has, what do they have, like 100?
Yeah.
100 restaurants and markets and food waste generators. They're on a different program. They're on a targeted program. They may want to move to a blanket, but maybe not, because that's a lot more businesses to regulate. And the program right now is designed as new businesses come in or there's remodels, then you require them to be regulated. So the objective is over time, you regulate everybody, but it could take time to reach that goal. But we will definitely, we'll use the template, and we'll talk with each of our contract agencies about this. And lastly, last thing I would say is that all of our costs are fully reimbursed through, you know, this contract with TCSD and any of our source control contracts, and there's also an overhead factor that's involved. So we have some additional funds for my time on it, Ken's time doing things, preparing invoices, things like that.
Any further questions, comments? Okay, I entertain a motion to approve the revised FOG agreement with Joe Price.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Great. Thank you.
Item 10 is March informational items. Any questions for the general manager on items in the future?
Well, when we're thinking about Senate Bill 1052, do you think then in the future it's going to be that wastewater agencies have to start treating stormwater? I mean, who else is going to?
Well, there's only a couple agencies in the state that have the authority to collect funds for stormwater stormwater programs, and wastewater agencies, and actually treat dry weather runoff or initial first flush wastewater from storms. Like LA County San has that authority, but they have special legislative authority to do that.
Yeah.
Because it's not authorized in the Sanitary District Act or a Sanitation District Act. So CASA is co-sponsoring this bill with Senator Hertzberg. We thought that was very important, so that way we could help shape the bill. And by doing that now, it's completely discretionary. So if your agency wants to be involved in that stormwater business, you can do that, and then you could also seek some funding for it.
So as an agency, then, we'd have to, because we don't own the stormwater system, we're just a treatment agency.
Yeah.
We'd have to be working with our members to...
You mean like a flood control district or whatever?
Yeah, whoever has the authority in the area. So like in our service area, it'd be the cities and towns, it'd be the county. So we'd have probably separate arrangements with them to, you know, have cross connection to our system to receive some portion of the flow, and there'd be some funding for that, you know, and those details need to be worked out, you know, individually, and that's even if this bill gets, you know, passed through the Senate and then, you know, the Assembly and the governor enacts it.
That'd be a huge undertaking for the cities and the member agencies to, as well as us, to have the space available and treat that additional flow.
Yeah, we have, you know, for you know, first flushes, you know, during rain, initial rain events, and for dry weather flow, we would have plenty of capacity to handle that, as would the, you know, any of the member agencies, you know, gravity sewer system and force mains. But, you know, other parts of the gravity system, depending on where they are in the service area relative to, you know, the stormwater outfall and size of the piping, that could be complicated, but There's a lot of capacity in the systems to receive dry weather runoff flows. But it'd be, you have to figure that out. It'd be complicated. This just provides that authority if agencies choose. But, yeah, it'd have to be CMSA in partnership with whatever, you know, collection agency, you know, SD2, San Rafael, or Ross Valley, in a partnership with the other, you know, municipality or county, and how they want to handle that.
Do you foresee this possibly leading to further legislation that would then require
the treatment?
It's like, okay, now they have authority to do it. Now, all of a sudden, there's a ball.
Well, if this got passed, and, you know, environmental groups and other interested parties wanted to find an author for legislation to require things, there would be a huge amount of opposition to that. You know, there'd be a lot of lobbying going on. You know, we'd be contacting, you know, Mark Levine and, you know, Senator McGuire and telling how bad an idea that is, making it a requirement. And there's this, because it's not practical. In some areas it may be, but in some it wouldn't be, because you may not have the capacity in the collection system, in the treatment plant, at the pumping station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how do you monitor what are the constituents, you know, of concern within that, you know, flow? Where's it coming from? So I don't think the requirement,
that's,
you know, would pass out of you know, the House of Origin, maybe through a policy committee. That's just my opinion on it.
But creating the possibility, because there are locations in the state where it might be economically preferable to capture that source of water and recharge aquifers and all sorts of things.
I think it's great for LA County Sand because they have, as the city, they have the wastewater agencies, the collection system, the multiple treatment plants, they have the stormwater system, and they need to protect their beaches from sewer overflows. So they've implemented this.
Do they have a revenue source?
I don't know any of those kind of details.
Yeah.
And I was thinking Monterey, actually. It might be a place where they could use it to recharge some of the water down there.
Yeah, there's a project called Monterey One Water, or Pure Water Monterey, where it's a partnership from Monterey Regional, which is now rebranded to One Water Monterey, their treatment facility. The cities and towns that have the collection systems, a lot of the farmers where there's agricultural runoff, and stormwater agencies, and the One Water Monterey, the treatment facility, they've built an advanced treatment facility down there, which goes beyond tertiary, which provides, you know, recycled high-level quality recycled water. Now they have all these other processes to produce like almost pure water. And that water, and that's you know, agricultural runoff, it's stormwater and all these other types of sources, and that's used, like you said, for groundwater recharge, putting in a groundwater barrier so you don't have the salt water intrusion to the groundwater supplies, and also for, you know, irrigation water. So they're doing it down there, definitely.
On a different topic, the COVID-19?
Yes.
Do we have a business continuity plan, and are we looking at it or thinking about implementing it, or what?
We don't have right now a kind of a formal business continuity plan to address it, but we have, you know, been sharing information with our staff. Just our safety officer has been staying on top of all the developments with the CDC, with, you know, Marin County Health, with Department of Health Services at the state, getting all this information, reviewing it, summarizing it, and we recently put together, you know, a nice memo that we went around and gave, you know, safety tailgates to all the different staff, just telling a lot of things that you guys heard about, you know, wearing protective equipment when needed, keeping your hands clean, not touching your eyes, things like that. We've also said if for some reason that you become infected and you are going to self-quarantine, we'll definitely allow you to use sick time, you know, other type of accrued leave. We also said that if your position allows it, we'll allow you to telecommute, which is really a policy only authorized for exempt management. But I kind of decided, well, you know, in this type of situation, we could let them work from home. And our IT staff have set up a separate website with high-level security, so staff at home can access that website, and then through that access our network so they can get files and other types of information to do work from home. So we've kind of set up the IT part for the telecommuting, which we didn't have before this. And we've just recently topped off all of our bulk chemical storage tanks, just in case something happened. And we're getting together as a management group to talk about how we'll continue operations if there's a lot more people being infected here and there's quarantine-type situations where we would have minimum staffing that we'd have to require, maybe a few operators for the day and one mechanic, and other people stay home. I told Chris Fenton, you know, our exempt manager, I said, well, you just sleep here for 2 weeks and take care of the plant.
You can quarantine here. And do all the... I know they do so informally, but do all the agencies have some sort of mutual aid so that if the virus strikes one of them and they lose all of their workers that we have?
Yeah, we have a mutual aid agreement with all of the agencies with treatment facilities. We've had that for many years, and then we expanded that a few years ago to include Ross Valley and SD2, and I think also San Rafael Sand. So everybody's signatory to that. And what we do is we annually update a equipment supply materials list, so we know what everybody has. And really, it's just it's discretionary. So if Novato has a problem and there's a quarantine there, they could people can't get to work. Some of our staff could go there. They would ask. You know, we'd consider it. If we approved it, we'd track the time. We'd track the resources that we let them use, and they'd just repay us. So we have this arrangement in place.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like we're ready.
Trying to be, yeah.
Good.
And if any special authorization is needed for overtime, in case we get a minimal staffing, is
if we need to authorize overtime, we definitely do that. Yeah, we don't need any authorization from the board to do anything like that.
But it's the way up because of it on the operating side.
Yeah, we have in our financial policies ways to transfer monies, you know, between, you know, particular accounts within a department's account and between departments and from a general contingency account that we have within our administrative department budget. So all through the finance policy, the board's authorized all those transfers, which have different signature authority levels.
Keep us informed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Further comments? Okay. Item number 11, North Bay Watershed Association report.
And they did cancel the conference next month. It's too bad. It's really good. I'm sure we'll do it later on in the year. Assuming it gets better. Last time we had Armando Quintero, who is the board president of MFWD and executive director of the University of California Merced Sierra Nevada Research Institute. I could try and tell you what he said, and I would do a terrible job at it. It was a very, very good presentation, and this is his presentation that he did, and I thought it was terrific. And so I made sure that I made copies for tonight, and it pretty much speaks for itself. We went straight down, and I thought there was a tremendous amount of information here.
This is for an official media file.
California's water. I thought he was great.
Yeah, he's been great for a long time. Must be like him.
Yeah.
Great.
Anyway, enjoy it. I mean, like this here, just the slide shortly in about where does California's water comes from, and it's the typical snowpack, surface reservoir, and topsoil. And it's interesting that a lot of the water comes from the topsoil. Anyway.
Huge amount more than the walls.
Yeah. I didn't know that. And what we were talking about, something that stuck in my mind was when the oil companies are drilling for oil, one of the issues was they have to drill down in the Central Valley. Well, that all used to be ocean in there a long time ago. And when that went down, underneath everything else that's out there is a salt plain, huge amounts of salt. So they have to go through the salt down to where the dinosaur oil is. And when they pump that out, pushes water up while they're getting the oil, and it's pushing all that salt into the aquifers, and unintended consequences. They didn't know it was there. So anyway, it was very good. So enjoy it.
Thank you.
Okay. Formal reports by commissioners, general manager.
Okay. So I have a handout here. There's a few things I'll mention. I guess the first is that so the finance committee is going to meet probably later in this month to talk about our FY21 plan debt issuance. So I've met with individual members over the last few days and just shared with them our capital planning funding model, which is not that accurate right now, but Ken developed it. It's a good template, and we're updating the information in it. So we'll look at the revised CIP, the funding model, and we'll look at a couple options, issuing revenue bonds or potentially a loan from the iBank through the Bay Area Quality Management District Climate Tech Force Program. So then we'll meet once or twice with them and probably hopefully have some type of a recommendation or a couple alternatives present to the board targeting the May meeting. So that's happening. Then two more things. One is I mentioned how we've been periodically delivering renewable power to the grid, and that through our interconnection agreement, PG&E installed these new meters. So we look at it, we have here this meter measuring what comes in, here's this one that measures what goes out, and here's this meter that measures what we generate. Seems pretty simple. So we've been delivering this power since, October, September, October. And NCE just isn't getting the right information from Calpine, who's not getting the right information from PG&E. So we take pictures of the switchgear, we send electrical diagrams, our point of contact there, and said, well, see, don't we just need information from this 1 meter? And we point an arrow at the meter, you know, and give it to them. And they said, well, we'll go talk to our meter division about this. So they go talk with the meter people, and they come out and calibrate, and then Calpine's getting some information, but it's not making sense to MCE. It doesn't match what we're measuring internally. So eventually, you know, PG&E starts sending more accurate data to Calpine. So, and Calpine saying, well, there's all these accounts with PG&E. It looks like some of these accounts aren't with MCE. So MCE calls and says, you guys have accounts. You're buying power from other entities, not us. Well, that violates, you know, our fee and tariff agreement, and there's big problems with this. He said, no, we only have a couple accounts. They're with PG&E. We don't. So there's all this confusion. So our staff just did a remarkable job. They reviewed our PG&E invoices. They reviewed electrical diagrams. They went out and looked at the meters. They reviewed all the correspondence, you know, between Calpine, MCE, and PG&E. And we put it all together. And it turns out, you know, we have these few accounts. One's for offsite, doesn't matter. One's a standby account, which, you know, is only for not really used. Then we have one main account. And then after your accounts, then you have these meters. And the meter has its own number stamped on it. Then it has a tag number that PG&E uses. Then they have these service agreements. Then each account has multiple service agreements. And they're service agreements for different data that come from the meters. So Calpine's interchanging service agreement with account, the terminology. So our staff figured it all out. Then they explained it to me. And once I understood it, then we brought in MCE and explained it to them. And they got it, and they talked with Calpine, and everything got cleared up, and we just got our first couple checks from MCE for power delivery through November. And it's just about, you know, $8,200, which is good. But now we have revised, you know, invoices that we've approved for January and December, and those might add up, they're going to add to a lot more than that. So we're just happy that the whole metering situation got resolved through these different entities. So that was great work by our staff.
Well done.
Yeah, that was cool. And then so I attended this CASA's Washington, D.C. policy forum end of February, and it was great. And we had different panel presentations from, you know, different, you know, staff for, you know, Senate and, you know, House committees, and with representatives talking about really high-level discussions about, you know, what their representatives or what their committees are focused on, things like that. Then, like, because I'm the CASA vice president, I moderated, you know, the afternoon session one day. There's a plastics panel which focused on legislation that's being developed by Senator Udall and Representative Lowenthal, comprehensive plastic pollution bill. You know, a lot of details I won't talk about now. And then a PFAS panel. And then we spent a day, you know, up at Capitol Hill. We all had a list of, you know, we got put into groups. We went and talked with different representatives, not really representatives, but their staff, you know, their legislative directors, people like that. And we had some key issues. You know, one was the PFAS, you know, monitoring and contamination issue. One was the 10-year permit term that we've been kind of advocating for the last, you know, decade. Funding for clean water infrastructure through the State Revolving Fund and through the EPA WIFIA program. And I knew these things really well when I was up there talking with people and stuff. Labeling of flushable wipes. So CASA has a assembly bill that just passed out of the assembly, and it's in the Senate now. And in this comprehensive plastic pollution bill, there's a wipes labeling component in it that CASA provide all information to the senator and the representative who drafted the bill. So we went and just briefed all the representative, you know, staff on it. So that was good. Then the final day, we had a joint kind of, you know, meeting session with ACWA, which is all the water agency people, and they asked me to introduce Congressman Huffman. So I practiced for hours and hours. And I had this 3-minute thing I got dialed down to, where I talked about all his bio and stuff and how we worked with him on the desal project in the early 2000s, and when he's in assembly, how we helped him with some of the environmental bills and stuff that affected wastewater agencies, like SASM's consolidation bill. And then I mentioned how busy he is and all that. And then when he, one day a couple years ago, he found some time to schedule to attend my son's Eagle Scout ceremony. And he gave a great speech there and complimented my son for reaching the right Eagle Scout, all this great stuff, and how we all thought it was cool. And everyone says, oh, it's so great, you know, and it was really cool. So, yeah, so that was the conference. A lot of traveling to get there and back home.
Yeah, I bet.
It's good time. Yeah. Well, that's all I have. Unless you have any questions on these other items on my
quick question, if I may, Mr. Chair. Just the first item under agency business. What is this? What is Photo Waste Recycling?
Yeah, what is that, a company?
So Photo Waste Recycling is a business that's in San Rafael, and they're a significant industrial user. So they're regulated under our pre-treatment program, and we only have three businesses that are regulated under that federal program. And I can let Mark talk about this in a moment because he's really dialed into it. But we have a whole, the sewer use ordinance, and we have an enforcement process. And they haven't been paying their invoices, and when we go out and test them periodically, they haven't been compliant with the silver discharge limits in their permit. And they aren't doing the regular reporting and monitoring of their process water and sending it to us. So our staff have talked with them, multiple times, issued then, a notice of violation, and just let them know that these are the next steps. And they responded to a certain level, but they didn't respond the way they were supposed to, hitting all these targets and especially paying their bill. So we issued an administrative order, one of the first I think we've ever done here for the agency. And Mark met with them recently, and they said they're going to pay their bill, and they said they're going to come into compliance, and they're contemplating becoming what we call a zero discharger, where they would just disconnect their processed wastewater from the sanitary sewer system. So they would store that on site and handle it separately.
What is an administrative order?
It's a enforcement order.
Okay.
So, Mark, anything else to add to that? What did I get wrong there? Or?
An administrative order provides a compliance plan, a timetable in which they can take care of requirements to get them into compliance.
Awesome. Thank you.
So with zero discharge, where does that waste end up?
You would end up wherever they took it for proper disposal. And we don't, that's not really part of our business. We would we require that information, or when it's like a manifest of where they took it or anything, or are we just going there to make sure that they've been disconnected and they're not?
We would require a manifest to confirm that the alcohol falling there has a waste.
So this, in reality, companies would come and pump out their tank, and then they basically turn it over to a company to then maybe come and dump it here in the headworks? Or
they couldn't bring the material here.
They couldn't, huh?
Because, it is. I mean, we wouldn't allow that, would we?
No.
Yeah.
So that's the Altamont or somewhere? Landfill of some sort? Or
I don't know where they would take the material. Hmm. Okay. They wouldn't take it to like a manhole in Santa Fe Sand and discharge it right there so it comes to us, right?
This stuff got to end up somewhere.
It sounds like bad actors, and we need to start thinking like that. So we might need branded services.
Well, even if they move the zero discharge route, they'd still be permitted. We'd still inspect them, routinely, and we'd require the manifests.
Right, but things haven't been going well for a while.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Any other further comments, questions? Okay. Next scheduled meeting Tuesday, April 4th at 7 p.m.
April
14th. Excuse me.
14th.
That's it. Okay, you need your
okay.